Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
I would bet that today, out at the stadium, rookie minicamp day one, is one of the happiest days of the year out there. Wouldn't you think? Like,
no expectations, really. Like, it's not a pressure cooker.
Well, it's just, it's players' first day on the field in the NFL, in their, most of them, in their lives. Like, today would be, you know, you got to be serious and everything, probably.
Yeah.
You don't even necessarily know everybody yet. You're just sort of, like, experiencing the NFL kind of for the first time. I think that would be pretty great. I think I'd like it for one day. Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. And that would, it would go terribly for me, and I'd be out of there. Sal, what do you think of this theory of mine?
I don't even remember kind of what you just said there, because you were talking about rookie minicamp on a day like today. What was it? I was sorry. I was reading something as you were talking. My fault. I apologize.
I said it would maybe be one of the happiest days of the year out there as young players get on the field for the first time.
Sorry. So happy for whom? For them? Sure.
For the players.
For them? Sure. That's why. I absolutely. It's a chance for them to have a uniform, a NFL jersey, an NFL helmet. But listen, I mean, there's a lot of guys who aren't going to be here past this weekend that are out there. So even though they're happy, like, it's going to turn pretty quickly for a lot of them.
And a lot of them would know that. You know, that might even make it a little bit.
Most likely, yes.
You know,
most likely, yes.
Where you could have sort of be in good spirits about it. Because this is your one.
Yep.
For some of those guys, this is your one weekend in the league.
But it does happen, right? I mean, this is where Joe Andreessen came from last year, right?
Yes.
So like,
sure,
you know,
yeah,
as much as you know the odds would be stacked against you, you know, just last year, a guy that fit this profile, I don't think anybody was really expecting him to make any noise, but he got there and impressed enough to get invited to come back and then ultimately ended up making the team. So, you know, any guy that is showing up there without any kind of fanfare has at least that, you know, hey, this team is at least open enough. If I do enough things right, maybe, you know, I have a chance. So in that way, maybe, I don't know, that might decrease the level of happiness a little bit, because you might be feeling like, I got to really be good today. You know, like, I got to be on it if I want to have any shot at all, even if it's unrealistic.
Yeah, totally. And listen, here's the other part about that. If they impress today in any regard, but there's no room, just make the coaches remember you, that maybe down the road they can call you up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and say, hey, you came in, you learned our playbook for a weekend, we really liked your attitude. Like, that's a lot of what today is, too. There was a guy out there today, Matt Jaworski. He's a local kid. He went to St. Francis High School. He was the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year, actually, from Fordham. And he was on a tryout basis, but he said he had just come from the Seahawks camp as well. So a lot of these guys, that's what they're doing. They go as many of these things as they can, as long as because you only get two weekends. So obviously that's just this one and this, the Seahawks and the Bills. But the point is, like, if you can at least kind of get remembered from one of them, then you never know. That's what happened with Andreessen last year. Andreessen went to the Chiefs first, and then he came to the Bills, and he actually made the team. But there could be somebody who, you know what, we remember that guy. Let's go back and talk to him from when we had him here in May.
Forgive me now. I don't know if this was pertaining to the Bills or not, because there's so much of this sort of news making the rounds. A lot of teams are doing this. But I read today that there was a quarterback that was supposed to go do what you just said. He was somewhere else and was coming to another team this week, but was in Green Bay last week and did so well that they're going to sign him. So he's not coming to this other team's, you know, rookie camp.
They're not letting him out of the building.
They're not letting him out of the building, right. I don't think it was the Bills, but it was some other team.
It could be Taylor Elgersma. He is a Canadian quarterback who the Packers are signing.
Okay.
That could be the guy you're talking about.
I think that is the guy, yes.
Yep.
So they had to pivot and find a different guy to bring in as a quarterback.
I didn't know you could go to more than one. They're not under contract.
Right.
So
correct.
Would they probably sign a waiver or something to, in case there's an injury?
Well, Mike, I mean, actually, Max Harrison isn't under contract. He's out there. What happens is these guys, they actually have – they're not waivers. Now, the guys on tryout basis, I'm not sure, like, how it works for them. But the drafted guys or that have not signed their contracts, they have insurance policies through times like this. And if they get hurt, you know, that has happened before. I think Dante Fowler, if I remember that, years ago with the Jags. Like, the teams, they still give them their contract from where they were drafted, basically, because you're slotted, and they do that. So I don't know if the tryout players would have some sort of insurance, something they think they would want to get on that. But I don't know if there's a waiver or anything like that, you know, because, yeah, you're right. You're kind of taking a risk there, I guess.
So what stood out today to you? Harrison would be the guy that you would have the most attention on, I think. He's the most prominent first pick and has a role kind of waiting for him. So we're not going to find out if he's going to win that job based on what happens this weekend. But you can eyeball him for the first time and get a look at how he moves around and how he interacts. And how did that go? What did you observe today?
Yeah, I tweeted some video, and I think a lot of people are seeing what I saw on the video, which is his change of direction, the way he can flip his hips. Like, he's just an elite athlete. You can tell that. Sometimes you go out there and you see that from these guys, and I kind of saw that from him today, which is when he was doing some drills, just some positional work. Now, you're moving back and forth, you're moving laterally, you're changing directions, you're sprinting, you're stopping, all that kind of stuff. He just looked different than a lot of the other guys. And you could see how smooth he was when he flips his hips, he flips his shoulders, he's going in one direction, spins around, and goes so quickly without a hitch. That's something I noticed right away. I tweeted out some video. I showed that. In the video, he's next to Jordan Hancock, a fellow draft pick, obviously, who's a defensive back. And actually, if you watch Jordan Hancock, he does very well. But you can see that Max Harrison is still kind of at a little bit of a different pace, right? But I think it's unfair to Jordan Hancock because he's next to Max Harrison, if that makes sense, in this particular clip that I put out there, because people were commenting about, oh, man, he looks makes 37 look so slow. He's not. Jordan Hancock looked fine, but because actually the second video I posted, you could actually make the argument Jordan Hancock, like, he was even a little bit more smooth in a couple of little different spots, but it's just funny to watch that. So that's what I took away from him, from Max Harrison, just kind of on the hoof, just watching him, just the elite athletic traits. You know, there's a fastest guy, you know, at the combine, sub 4.3 speed, and you can kind of see where that comes from just from his movements.
Seems like the guy has a nice personality too. I think he's going to be fun for you guys, Harrison.
I think so too. Caught up with him after he did media. I was over talking with a bunch of players. Paul was at the podium, but after he was done, I caught up with him and I told him I have a son named Max. Call him Mad Max. You know, he thought that was cool. Laughing. He was very, very engaging. He seemed like he was a great personality when we had him on the Zoom call. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a guy that seems like we'll be able to – he'll be very approachable.
You put a tweet out recently for the Extra Point show, like handicapping starting corner week one with Hairston and Trey White and a couple of others. How do you see that, and what kind of feedback did you get?
Yeah, interesting. So the way I – put it out there, what I said was, if you had 100 shares of stock of equal value and you had to place them on who's going to be the starting corner opposite Christian Benford week one, how much are you putting on Harrison, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, or other would be the fifth choice? And Harrison, I would say, was overwhelmingly the favorite, but there were quite a few people who gave it to Trey, who would get put more on Trey White than Max Harrison. I didn't see as much for Dane Jackson, a little bit here or there, but it seems like that's going to be where people are focused. And I don't disagree with that necessarily. I think it's probably between those two. I think Max Harrison's going to get as much runway as possible to win this job. Tre'Davious White is still a guy that you know you can play. And you know, at least I think they think he can play still, right? I mean, the injury and all that aside, you know, they brought him here and they paid him a little bit of money because they want him on the roster and they can turn to him if they need to. But I think the plan is going to be, like, we're going to see if this kid can do it. If Max Harrison can win this job, he's going to play. So, you know, if I sat here now, obviously I couldn't tell you that. But if I gave you stock on who's going to get the opportunity, I think Max Harrison would clearly be number one.
60-30-10.
Okay.
Would be my breakdown. Harrison, White, Jackson. I might even go 70-20-10.
Ooh, okay. I don't know if I would go that high. I think 60 might be. In fact, I might even go a little less. I think there could be more of a battle there. I just think about how, you know, Max Harrison is much of the elite traits we just talked about. Trey White knows the system. He's been mm-hmm. here. And, you know, if he can show up and be even any semblance of what he was, you know, pre-injury, and I know that might be a long shot. I get it. If that is the case, I think Max Harrison has a fight on his hands.
Okay. I was wondering, I should have got this in earlier before we started talking about players and Harrison in particular. Who qualifies for this? Like, you mentioned the tryout guys already, of course, the draft picks, the UDFAs, but there are, like, Frank Gore Jr., there are players who were around last year that are on the roster today.
Yeah, there was four guys on today's roster, that on today's rookie minicamp roster, that were on the team last year. Running back Frank Gore Jr., offensive lineman Mike Edwards, not to be confused with safety Mike Edwards, defensive backs Daquan Hardy, who you remember from the punt return battle last year, and Tecori Couch. These are first-year players, they call them, who really didn't play at all last year. So even though they're not technically rookies, the NFL has a term called a first-year player, which isn't a rookie. It's actually a guy in his second year. But for purposes of him actually getting accredited seasons, he's still considered a first-year player. So that's what those guys are. Somebody asked me about Travis Clayton. I'm not sure why he wouldn't be, but he wasn't there today. Travis Clayton was another rookie last year who was on the practice squad, international player. So, you know, there could be some designation there, or it could just be because they felt they had enough offensive linemen or something like that. I'm not sure. But basically that's who qualifies, Mike, is and there are guys who are not on an NFL team that you could invite to the camp that have been veterans maybe to come in. That's happened before. I don't have a specific example for you here this right now, but I do remember in the past there might be a guy. In fact, how about this? There's another guy. There is a guy named Marcus Harris. He was actually drafted in the 7th round last year by the Houston Texans, and he was a draft pick, and he didn't make it. Then he went into the Patriots practice squad, so he was in the same boat, and he's on the Bills, even though he's from another team. So those kind of players. I think there have been other guys before who've showed up to these things who have a little bit of time because they're kind of a veteran that isn't on a team.
And they are working with the full complement of, like, all the coaches are there, right, for this?
Yes. Okay. Yes, this stuff falls under phase three, which is basically you can run plays, offense against defense, 11 on 11, 7 on 7. There's no hitting. There's no helmets and hitting or anything like that. But they were running offensive plays today against defenders.
What might coaches be looking for? I mean, it is like you're getting acclimated here, and coaches would have seen lots of film on whoever is in their particular position group. But without hitting, with it being so relatively maybe lacking for like structure, what is a coach trying to spot?
Is this a good time for me to say that everybody should listen to the latest It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and I talking to Sean McDermott, because we asked him this exact question.
All right, what did he tell you? For?
No, you're going to think that I stole it.
Yeah, that's okay. It's good. I think you teed me up, Mike. It's all good to promo that because it was a great conversation. But Matt asked Sean McDermott this exact question. I was kind of a bit surprised. I thought Sean would say, like, hey, how they're interacting with their teammates. You know, are they coachable? His answer actually was for Sean. He said he's kind of looking at the body type, how they fit in, what they can do with their body. You know, you're trying to get a sense of each individual a little bit more than even like, yeah, the team stuff matters, but you got to have a plan for these guys, right? If you see at rookie minicamp, okay, you know, Landon Jackson's this really long guy who can do this or that with his hands. You know, that's a good sign for us to do this. But what if he can't do this? Then maybe we need to have a plan for him as we go forward. Once he gets in with the rest of the veterans to kind of move that around. So he said he's looking for those kinds of things, looking for the body type, the traits that kind of go along with it, and to kind of look at each individual and kind of what they're doing and what they're suited for.
I did watch a good chunk of this conversation you had that you're referring to from your It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. I didn't make it to the question about minicamp and what they're looking for, but the front end of that, talking about, you know, the media and, you know, your jobs and just McDermott's experience and how he's evolved, it sort of reminded me of a talk we had an opportunity to have with him last summer before the heat of the season was really on, and it was really enjoyable. This was, you know, 10 times longer than what Mike and I had with him, and I thought you guys both did a really nice job with that.
I appreciate it, and I'll tell you, the background is we were hoping to talk to Sean during the owners' meetings to do this podcast. We had set it up with the Bills, and we were going to do have Sean McDermott on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. We were ready to rock and roll. Well, because of just scheduling and how things turned out and Sean being on the competition committee and all that, we just weren't able to do it. So, you know, walk away from the owners' meetings. Okay, well, we still got stuff from him, but we didn't have him on the podcast. And I'll actually credit, you know, Bills PR director Derek Boyko. He reached out to Matt and I recently and said, hey, you know, we'd still love to do this. Sean will sit down with you guys. Like, when do you want to do it? So we did it this week. And I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad that we didn't do it at the owners' meetings, but we did do it now. If we would have done it at the owners' meetings, it would have been your normal, what do you think about the roster here? What do you think about this guy and that guy? And what are you looking at in the draft?
Yeah, this
was not it. That's all done. What we did was we talked very little football. We dove in just to Sean's philosophies and life and his pursuit of a championship. And there was a lot of really, really interesting stuff in there. Great feedback we're getting from a lot of people. I appreciate it. We tweeted out a clip yesterday. Sean told a really interesting story.
This story about how he blew my mind. Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. He was at a little league field. He said a ball field. His son and daughter both play softball and baseball. And he said he was at a field, and a gentleman came up to him, and he's sitting in the outfield watching the game, introduced himself. Hi, you know, they exchanged cordials, and then the guy said, hey, I want to thank you for what you've done here with you and Brandon being the organization. I was losing hope as a Bills fan. And Sean said, you know, he really appreciated it. Thank you very much. And then he said, the guy said to him, you know, I get this feeling that, you know, the Bills are okay being number two. And Sean, you could see, if you watch the clip, even relaying the story, you could see that pained him.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't even say it angered him, right? It pained him.
Yep.
And he then said that he told the guy, he said, well, that's not, he said, then you don't know me and you don't know this team. That is the furthest thing from who we are, being okay with being number two. Then he on the heels of this, he also told us how he has this vision, right? He envisions what it could be like someday winning a world championship and what the scene is like on the field. And he's always thought about, like, maybe even just walking away and not just because this is it. This is what we're all about. And, you know, it's not about the interviews. It's about holding the trophy up for everybody. And then he relayed that to this story with this guy and said, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking he's going to tell me how, like, this guy's mad. Now, that quote is a bit angry, but what he said was interesting. At the end, he goes, I want to win it for that guy so I can give him and show him you're not number two anymore. This is what we're about being number one. I thought it was fascinating. You know what I mean? I thought it was really cool.
What kind of blew my mind about it, not that people are shy all the time about telling you how they really feel, but I'm stunned the guy said that to McDermott, like, to his face. It's one thing to call us and say, I think this organization's happy being number two. It's another thing to run into the coach in person in the outfield of a little league game and lay that on him. Not that I don't know how, you know, what sort of temperament the person had presenting this to McDermott, but it just surprised me that someone would directly say that, because I feel like I can always tell, and you guys probably have your own similar experiences, like a certain approach. I feel like I know this person wants to tell me they don't like something about you or somebody, but they can't, they don't have the guts to spit it out. And they're just sort of stammering around and like, all right, well, nice meeting you. You know, to just come out and tell the head coach of the Bills, you strike me as being satisfied being second place. I mean, that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
It's worse than that.
I agree with you. I agree with you for sure. No doubt about it. There were a lot of things like that. I mean, I know Sean pretty well. I think, you know, I would say as a reporter can know a head coach in the NFL. I think I know Sean really well. And there were a lot of things I learned about him that I did not know in this conversation about how much I did not realize how big of a dance family, like how much of a, like, they dance. He actually is. He said he brings two shirts to a wedding sometimes. I'm not kidding you. Like, what? Sean well, McDermott.
You guys are cut from the same cloth.
Right.
You can tear it up out there, Sal Capaccio.
You know, but he did say, don't invite me to the wedding. But, you know, I mean, we love to dance. And, you know, we talked about playing instruments. He's learned to play the guitar. He's learned to play acoustic guitar right now. And he does have experience playing the drums. Like, these are all little things that I had no idea. And I think, though, to the there's the micro here to get into and talk about that, but the macro of just him being this this open book that he's been more of over the last year or so, I just think is really awesome, and it really gives people a glimpse into who he is.
While you've been talking, I'm just sort of making plans to get him on ADP chasing so we can discuss Keon Coleman's fantasy draft status for this year. It should be pretty good.
Well, I'll have to extend an invite to the attic if he wants to see some guitars.
Yeah, for sure. He might do that.
Sal, there one more. There was a report yesterday from Arif Hassan that he's got the Vikings playing back-to-back games in Europe. Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Dublin and, I guess, London. And I thought, you know, is that – how good of an idea is that? And I think it's good. The pro of it, I guess, for Minnesota would be that they don't have to travel to those two cities. They're not playing two literal road games. But they're in Europe for 2 weeks. And, you know, maybe that's even an advantage too, like the Bills had to play Jacksonville when they had already been there for a week. So could you see that? That would end the Bills-Steelers speculation if it were correct.
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Just judging how the NFL does things and has been doing things. The Jags obviously have gone over to London now for two straight weeks, and we know the NFL is starting to tinker with that. They want to start doing this with teams. They want to start having more teams have, okay, two games over there or one game here and another game internationally. And this Mike North told us this a couple of years ago they might start doing this because, let's be honest, guys, eventually teams are going to be going over there a lot more often, whether that's in London or anywhere else over there. And this makes sense. It would do something like this. The other part of it is the opponent. You know, when you sort through it, apparently the Steelers do have the ability maybe to protect a game. And if they did that, they would protect the Packers, right? So maybe they say that. We've all heard rumblings about the Bills, but as I've told you, from the way I understand it, you know, the league probably doesn't want to put Josh Allen MVP over at 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday against a name brand, but they could do that. Vikings and Seahawks are the two teams that it kind of gets narrowed to when you talk about eliminating Packers and Bills, eliminating all your AFC North opponents from that. Now you're left with Vikings and Seahawks. Vikings make sense. They also have to play, what, the Jags, right, would be in London, I think, Mike? I think they have to play the Jags, whoever it would be over there, Jets or Browns, one or the other.
It would be Cleveland.
Yeah. Cleveland, thank you. I'm sorry. So it would make sense that the Vikings could be that team. But I think from an overall league perspective, this is where we're going. Teams are going to be going internationally more often. There's more international games every year. And they have specifically said they're going to start doing this kind of as test runs, I guess, with some teams like the Jags have been.
The only other team scheduled in Europe, if Cleveland and Pittsburgh are taken, so to speak, that the Bills play is Miami. Or the Jets, I guess. The Jets, that's also, they're also over there. Is it to be ruled out? Would the Bills be considered for those games? Or are you assuming or even know that they won't be?
Not ruled out. Ask Mike North specifically. He said not ruled out. You could do a division game. The Jags have played two division games in London. They played the Colts once. They played the Texans once. It's just something that I don't see happening. It's something I think the league kind of shies away from.
Okay.
Maybe Jacksonville is a different case because of Jacksonville having their series there all the time and every year going over there. I mean, the Bills did play two division games in Toronto when they did that. You know, so maybe when you have a team that's always going to one spot, that kind of opens that door
right.
A little more.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't rule it out completely, but I would assume it's not going to happen.
What did you have today from Pat Hammer that Josh is going to be on the Today Show? Is that Monday?
Okay, so just an update on this. I'm glad you asked me, okay? Because earlier today, Pat Hammer, our buddy Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV, NBC, texted me and said, hey, the Today Show just teased that Josh Allen's coming on Monday. Now, we know next week, Today Show, Good Morning America, the CBS Morning Show, they're all going to be having these reveals. This is what happens every year. So now you get to, okay, Josh on NBC? What is that? Is that week one Sunday
night
football?
Yep, right.
Now I will tell you, since then, I have been told it is not certain Josh is going on NBC Sunday. They did mention it. That did happen today, but that might not happen. So I'm not really sure where all that goes, but just because of scheduling and things like that, you know, with Josh Allen himself, it's not certain he's going to be on, so I'm not really sure where that goes.
I really wanted that to be certain.
I am gonna ignore Sal and say that it is.
I'm gonna treat it like it
because they wouldn't want. We just gave it away. We will see. All right. Have a nice weekend.
You got it, guys.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I also saw, it's not as fun as Monday because Wednesday is the actual show, that Deion Dawkins is going to be a part of the NFL Network show. They had some special guests lined up. Nance, Jim Nance is one of them, and Deion Dawkins was on that list too. But that's not like ahead of time. It's more like, you know, you look at the cool schedule the Bills got. Here's Deion Dawkins.
I've never watched it. For as much as I love the schedule,
right.
By the time we get out of here, we know it.
Right.
And I've never watched the schedule show.
I usually just wait to see it updated on Twitter to make sure it matches what we were talking about when we left at 7.
Like that's it.
That's how it goes.
And then, you know, in the good old days when you could get on Underdog in New York State, you jump on and draft Best Ball Mania team now that you know the bye weeks. You try to get ahead of everybody else, you know, matchups, week 17 matchups, all that good stuff. But, you know, now we're going to have to cross the border to do that. Into Pennsylvania. That Allen thing, you're not going to have Josh Allen on the Today Show Monday morning and announce Detroit-Chicago.
Right, exactly.
803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Oh, yeah, playing in the SEC, I definitely feel like it got me, you know, prepared to the best of my ability to play at where I'm at now. Just going against guys, I think this year the SEC led the NFL in draft picks again. So, you know, just knowing that's a whole bunch of guys that I played against over the years, you know, good company.
Bills' second-round pick. TJ Sanders out of South Carolina. The Bills' first four picks were all SEC players, I think. Two from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming this is still the SEC. I know that guy
that
I can trust.
You've got it. Arkansas is also still in the SEC, yes.
And UConn is not yet in the SEC?
Not yet.
They drafted a player from UConn.
It's pending.
They're waiting for someone to, you know, leave. They're on the priority list.
Right. Standby to fly in the SEC.
Can I just say, I'm just going to butt in with this again. You're not a season ticket holder anymore in life. You're a season ticket member. You're not a season ticket holder. Look at the billboards. Look at your email. They don't call you season ticket holder because you're somebody, some marketing guru decided they're really not holding you. We hold the tickets. You get to use them. They're ours, not really yours. So it's not like you own them. We have to change the language. You don't own the season tickets. We do, so you're a member. And to me, similarly, you don't have a waiting list anymore. The Bills have an ad running on the station for the priority list. You don't sign up for the waiting list.
Right.
You sign up for the priority list.
Hey, Mike, what's the priority list?
It's a waiting list.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
It's, you know, you, person that does not have tickets and are making a deposit anyway, are our priority. You're not waiting. It may feel like waiting because you're on a list and you're waiting to hear if you get tickets, but you're not. We have to make sure we change that too. It's too it's too flammable.
That could happen as soon as next year. Or the year after, or even in 5 years, all of which would require waiting.
We can't call it a waiting list anymore because we want you to feel a little bit better, even though it's the same thing.
Well, that's what member is all about, too. You're a member. You're like you've bought. I'm a member. You know what things are you members of? I'm a member of at a country club. I'm a member of the PTA. I'm a member of the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. A lot of thought went into this.
Yeah.
These are the things in life that I kind of hate more than anything else.
You know, when I first noticed this kind of thing was after some years went by where I didn't travel to baseball games or try to buy baseball tickets. And, like, enough time had passed, 10 years, 15 years maybe. God, I don't know if I ever went that long without going to a ball game, but it's possible. You know, marriage and getting kids and everything, it had been a while. It's like, oh, you know, we're going to be in Cleveland for a weekend, and let's look at the ballpark. Cleveland's home, let's go to a baseball game. And all the sections have names that are way fancier than, like, bleachers upper deck or like everything is a loge box or something like mm-hmm. we bought tickets in the upper deck, like the first row of the upper deck. The kids were maybe, I mean, I'm holding Leo as a baby, so they're 3 and not even 1 maybe, or 2.5 and whatever. It's like Leo's an infant. And
Leo the Pope.
Leo the Pope, right. His friends used to call him Leo the Pope in middle school. So I'm looking at, oh, loge box. I think I'll do that. I'm thinking there's going to be, you know, last time I had box seats was at Fenway Park, and there was like a cubicle around your seats, right? Like, I'm in a box. These four seats are my box.
I love that about Fenway.
Yeah, I love that too. So I'm thinking like, oh, that's one of these deals? No, it's just an upper deck seat.
It's the seat.
There's no railing. There's no box. There's no cordoned off. There's nothing. And the kids are so little, and we're in the, like, Kirsten's like, we cannot sit here. Like, I'm
too close to the edge.
We have a baby.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was going to be different. I'm sorry. It was great. Cleveland, they were great. They were the Indians then. They were fantastic. We went and explained, and they put us in seats on the main, you know, the first level that were, you know, not as unobstructed. I mean, there were more people in front of us than there would have been if we were sitting in the front row of the upper deck, but it was much safer and very comfortable, and they were very accommodating. But the thing that tripped me up was thinking it was going to be more than just four seats in a row, which is all it was. But it had some stupid flowery name that made me think I was buying something a little more comfortable or something.
And as you would say, of course, all of that was intentional.
Yes.
By the team.
Yes.
To deceive you.
Yes, exactly. And that's everywhere now.
Like, that is everywhere now.
Every seat has like a different sort of designation that makes it sound like more than what it is, which is probably just a hard-ass plastic seat in a row of 1,000 of them. Okay, thanks.
This I could take all day. I could go all day. Even our like radio ads where they speed up the small print part or put it first before we even know what the commercial is for yet.
Yeah,
it's just wrong. Brandon is next. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, like if you buy a house, you know, or land, you know, you think you own it, but in reality, you don't. The town owns it. If you stop paying the taxes on it, they're going to take it back. You don't really own it.
You're a member of your own house.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, and the taxes never stop. You may pay off your house, but you're still going to have to pay your taxes. That's how that works.
I'm a member.
Pretty sure.
I'm not even sure I'm a member at my own house anymore. Yeah. I'm kind of a guest, I think.
Wow.
Sometimes it feels like that. Baseball, are you following the drama around Rafael Devers?
Yes, absolutely am.
How about this guy?
I was, you know, pretty sympathetic about the, you know, the move from third base to DH, which he, you know, beefed about in the, you know, before the season started at spring training. But the stance he's on, he didn't want to not play the field. He's a terrible defensive, one of the worst defensive third basemen in the league.
Yes.
He's a great player, like MVP level almost player, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sure. Defensively, not good. So they sign a much better player to play third base, who was also a very good player, Bregman. And so now they're going to displace Devers and make him a DH, and he's complaining about it. And eventually, team guy, whatever, I'll do it. Now they lose, you mentioned it the other day, right? Cassis, the first baseman, goes down. And there's word that they want to move Devers to first base, and he's balking at that and exaggerating to such an extent. Like, you want me to play every position? Like, he mentions left field or something if somebody else gets hurt. And, like, you know, they're going back on their word.
Right. They told me to put my glove away, so I did.
Like, dude, they're paying you $380 million over 10 years here, and the first baseman got hurt. They want you to go play first base. Like, yeah, they changed their mind because the first baseman got hurt. What are you doing? I mean, I don't know. He's talking like, you know, I'm not worried. My relationship with the guys in the clubhouse is great, and, like, I'm not worried about anything. And, like, I don't follow it as closely as I used to. I think maybe this guy has a lack of awareness problem because, I don't know, the team wants to win, and if their best bet is to move, you know, go play first base. Like, there was a time 20 years ago when I thought I could get through an inning unscathed playing first base.
Oh, that's the position you want.
Yeah, like it's first base.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's intricacies of footwork and all that. Just give him some time to ramp up.
Plus, you get to talk to players on the other team.
Right. I don't think... Yeah, I don't know that their plan was to just throw him in there. I would think you'd give him a week or two to work on it, you know, on game days or whatever, on off days. And he just comes off like an entitled baby, this guy, to me.
Sure. Easily.
Oh, no, my teammates are fine. You don't want to check.
Yeah, that might not be so true anymore.
Because, you know, like I said, I sort of understood him feeling a little, you know, chafed. You know, he signed a big contract. He thinks he's the third baseman for the Red Sox for life. And, you know, a few months later or a year later, it's, we got a better guy. Get out of here. You're going to be our DH now. So he's a little burned, but eventually he comes around. But now this whole thing, yeah, I don't know, man. That's just not.
Maybe I'm not too old-fashioned to think that the decision of where you play is the team's decision to make, not yours. But I recognize how sports, times have changed when it comes to sports, and, you know, it's not quite that simple. We'll take a break here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back. Lines are open, 803-0550. Some Sabres news today reports that they've reached out to a couple of well-known, long-time executives in the NHL, but were rebuffed, including Lou Lamoriello. And we've talked about the Bills' rookies and a little bit on the schedule. Not a lot. Tonight, I'll be dealing blackjack.
Oh, look at you.
Here I go with my casino card games again. Do you want me to explain blackjack, or do you have this one?
I think I got a pretty good handle on how blackjack works.
Last time you played?
Never.
Never?
I've never played blackjack. I've never played a card game at a casino. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that. I
think that's probably fair to say at this point in your life if you've never done it.
Yeah. While we were in Colorado last week, at this time, it was like Sunday afternoon, I suppose, all we really did, we went to this concert, but we had 3 days and nights there. So we just went to little old mining towns that were close by enough where we were staying. Like nowhere farther than like 90 minutes from Denver, I would estimate is where we were. And one town that we kept seeing signs for that wasn't like on our radar, like it's a place that my wife had like Googled and thought like, oh, well, let's go to this place, was a town called Blackhawk. And we started seeing 2 miles to Blackhawk. Like, okay, we're just on the road. We'll just drive through Blackhawk. It was entirely a brand new, gigantic town that was nothing but casinos. Like Bally's. Bally's was one name I saw. I saw a few others, some Native American names. But everything that I saw, now I did not, we just stayed on the main road driving through town, so we didn't like make a right and pull in and go see if there was some other old part of the original town. But it was like the size of a small city, but 20, 30 buildings, different, you know, style structures, but everything had some kind of casino moniker on it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what? I meant to Google it. I never have. Like, what is the story of this town? Did it exist prior to all this, or did it just pop up and it's just like condominiums, except it's casinos?
Is that a reservation?
Yeah.
Maybe?
It was amazing to see that. I mean, we didn't stop. We kept going to find somewhere else.
Like,
find some little mom and pop joint. I'm not, you know, I don't need a steak from Bally's here for dinner. I'm all right.
I hear it's good though.
Yeah. So, so I never played. So you're dealing, why are you dealing blackjack tonight?
It's funny you mention all that because I'm dealing blackjack tonight in Blackhawk, Colorado.
Wow. I can't wait to hear how this turns out.
Yes.
What time you got to be there?
It's the Canisius post-prom party, high school. So I'm making a return, second year in a row.
Oh.
I did so well last year.
Performance here?
I was such a hit last year that they wanted me back. So I'll be up very late.
Ooh, not sure I can handle
it. I'm good, though. I love that kind of thing. I like to play. But this is, you know, you can't lose dealing.
Sure, right, yeah.
This way you can't lose. It was a lot of fun last year.
Yeah, good. That's like, for me, the times I've been invited to bartend. I like being in bars, and bartending is a good way to be in a bar and not be drinking.
Yeah.
too much anyway, because I'm working, I'm working here.
I have some experience celebrity bartending, and the one time I did it that's the most memorable is that for a particular reason. It was a friend of mine who was the bartender at the establishment, and I was working with him. You know, the bar seats maybe 15 people, not a big operation. And so, you know, you kind of know everybody, and my wife was there and our friends were there. Like, it was sort of a special night. And he, as I was getting started, he saw me touch my face at one point, just, you know, and he's like, wash your hands. You can't touch your face and not wash your hands immediately. And I'd never even thought about that before. And then every time I went in there after that and saw him, I would stare at him to see if I could catch him touching his face.
And not washing his
hands. Never. Never once. Right. Because, and then I was always doing it. That night, I just caught myself. I was constantly, oh, I touched my face. You're just like, you just do.
Right.
And he was good. Like, that's an important thing, I guess.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Every bar you're going to go to is anybody going to necessarily care about this. But I like that he did.
Yeah.
And so I really couldn't get very far off the ground that night because I was constantly washing my hands have never been cleaner than this night at celebrity bartending. So, you know, think about it. How often you touch your face. Maybe it's like constantly. And I have a beard. So you just sort of like you just did. Didn't you just, did I hear you scratch your beard?
Yes. I think I'm very self-conscious about it now that we're streaming on YouTube and Twitch because there are things that I think I would sit here and do while we're talking that I just think, okay, don't fiddle with your eyebrows right now. The people are watching.
I know.
Right? It's like, or the beard is a big one. Yeah, like especially often, when it's not trimmed like it is now. It's nice and short now. When it gets longer, there's whiskers that sometimes I feel like I'm tempted to just fiddle with them, and I don't want to do that.
I think about now. I think I'm often sort of scratching my ear and doing that. And if it's, sometimes I'll think about like people are seeing me do that all the time. I don't know. Want to do some reverse AFC power rankings for this week?
I would love
get near the end of the week.
AFC power rankings.
We're expecting a call from Bandit star Josh Byrne. Also next hour, the Bandits are into the finals again, and that will start a week from tonight. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.